And so when Governor Carter says he wants to cut the defense budget $15 billion or $5 billion or $7 billion, that's his right. But I don't think it's a proper thing to do. And when he says, as he did in the Playboy interview or one of those interviews, I can't keep track of all of them, but he can find it in his heart to refer to a former president as a liar and a cheater and a distorter of the facts, that's his right. But I sometimes wonder about someone who stands up before this audience, or whether you stand up yourself in your dormitory or wherever and find fault with your friends and your neighbors, and then suddenly turn around and say, well, I apologize, I didn't mean that. We've already found apologies coming from Governor Carter to Governor Wallace, to Lady Bird Johnson, to Billy Graham. I don't know who he's going to apologize to next. I think he should have apologized to President Ford. He said, in effect, that President Ford lacked compassion, he lacked leadership, that somehow he was involved in Watergate, that he should tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It just seems to me that someone who can always find it in their heart to shell it out and then apologize is missing something. Something about a man's character. And let me say in the final minute, I don't know of a more curious audience and a student audience, and I say that from the standpoint, you want to know where we stand. You want to know where I stand, where President Ford stands, where Governor Carter stands, where Senator Mondale stands. We think you should have that right. We don't think it's fair to the American voter, young or old, black or white, Spanish-speaking, rich or poor, whatever, to say, just trust me until January, then I'll unveil my programs. I just happen to believe that we have a very discerning electorate. When Governor Carter talks about tax reform, and it's easy to stand up and moralize and agonize about the tax system, he doesn't tell you that the Congress has been controlled the past 22 years by the liberals in the Congress, the liberal Democrats. And if we have a bad tax law, you ought to look to the Congress. But it's not enough to stand up and say our system's a disgrace. It's not enough to stand up and say that most Americans don't want their taxes lowered. I haven't found many Americans who don't want their taxes lowered. Anybody in this room who doesn't want their taxes lowered? I doubt it. So I just say that, as I started, we're not perfect. We've made mistakes. But I believe if you look at the record of President Ford, who wants real tax reform, who's offered tax reform for middle-income Americans, and who led, and persuaded the Congress to reform the estate tax to help farmers and small businessmen and others. I think most Americans and most students at this university with farm backgrounds want a free agriculture. You don't want the government on your backs. And we have that kind of a program under Republican administrations. We're going to keep that kind of a program. We don't want grain reserves to dump on the market to depress your prices, as the Democrats advocate in their platform. And whether it's agriculture, education, tax reform, defense, I say the positive choice is there. The positive choice, and the real choice, and the meaningful choice for all Americans in the free world is the election of President Ford on November 2nd. Thank you very much.
lot of trouble?
Huh?
They give you a lot of
trouble?
No.
I'm going to tell you all the truth, and I haven't done that much today. I want you to elect this guy and get him off the Ag Committee so I can be the ranking member.
About not being in the meeting, if there's some reason that,
as far as I'm concerned, they're well.
Well, they thought maybe somebody didn't want them, and they always fuss about closed meetings. So I don't care. I'm just going to visit about some of the problems.
Rick, do you want to revise it?
Okay, I think some of you probably met with President Ford. Sorry I was a little bit late, but. Henry's probably told you all about agriculture. I think the actions taken by President Ford in the last couple of weeks, I know some suggested might be some politics involved. My view was it was bad politics to do nothing, because it should have been done. And when Congress didn't act on meat imports, I think it was very proper for the President to act. The President signed the vetoed the farm bill in May this year. He said that if prices deteriorated, he'd take another look at the loan levels. And they did deteriorate, particularly in the wheat areas. And I think he did the appropriate thing there. So I just happen to believe that the attention the President has focused on agriculture in the past few weeks has been not just a plus for him, but maybe it is. I don't know if we'll find that out later on, but it has been a plus for agriculture. And it was action that should have been taken. So beyond that, else I could say in that one area. The three of us pretty well reflect the same views in agriculture. I think we have, in a general way, a feeling that most farmers, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, or independents, like to feel that government's getting away from their business, and I think they have. I don't really find much fault with our programs. We have to adjust them some next year and maybe update them some, but I don't see any reason to go back to rigid price supports and quotas and allotments and everything else. And that's sort of the view that many of us hold on the Senate Ag Committee, including probably two or three of the Democrats on that committee, so it's not just a partisan view. I frankly don't know Governor Carter's farm position. He hasn't spelled it out. But I would guess and I would say that the Republican position would be pretty much the same as it is now. Extend the present program, which does expire, and make the changes we should make. Beyond that, I think it'd be pretty much the same. It'd be more helpful to me if we could have some of your views, not only on agriculture, but there are a lot, in addition to your own interests, of course, you're also concerned about taxes and spending and deficits and our defense and peace and strength. There are a great many issues that are also of great concern. And I just say on behalf of President Ford that he's consistent, he's predictable, he's had the experience. I assume most of you, when you want something done, try to find someone who's had some experience. It just seems to me that he's had 25 years in the Congress, and sometime as vice president, now about 27 months or 26 months as president. He's really equipped to do a job for America. as I said, and maybe you were there, I don't want to repeat myself, but we are respected by our friends. We are respected by our foes overseas. They understand President Ford's strong commitment to a strong national defense. And to me, that's very important to all of us. Your children or grandchildren or whatever, it's important to all of us. So we just believe we represent the conservative philosophy in this race, and they represent a very liberal philosophy. I'm flatly opposed to grain reserves. Senator Bellman is. It's in their platform. They're talking about a 50-50 mix. I don't know how that would work. But every time I think of reserves, I think of Orville Freeman's dumping of corn on the market. Every time the price would go up, he'd find some out-of-condition corn somewhere, which kept the price about $1.10 a bushel. And Senator Mondale has been one of those senators who's introduced export licensing legislation, which in effect would have an embargo from a legislative standpoint. The stocks got below a certain amount, then you couldn't export without getting an export license. And I just suggest that if we have a buyer who wants to buy and has to wait to go through a lot of red tape, you might not have that buyer. And we need to promote exports. We're not, you know, if we had all the grain in the world, we could just about deal on our terms. Not always a seller's market, and there's a lot of grain around, and we have to protect our consumers and protect our producers, but not to the extent where we lose our customers. And that's that philosophy. And it's also no secret that labor leaders have a very strong influence in the Democratic Party, not in the party of Jefferson, but in the new Liberal Democratic Party. Pretty much influenced by labor leaders. If we go out to California, take a look at Proposition 14 on the ballot this year, it ought to scare a few farmers all over the country, because it says, in essence, that labor organizers can go on your property 3 hours a day to try to organize farm workers. Now, I don't know how far Proposition 14 will spread, but it's an indication of what some have in mind. You don't have the right to work law in Oklahoma. We have it in Kansas. We'd like to keep it. Both Carter and Mondale, of course, want to repeal. We've got this liberal Congress that would probably be happy to accommodate that request. With President Ford there, if it was repealed in the House and the Senate, he could veto it, and he would veto it, and it's in our platform, and they couldn't muster the 2/3 votes necessary to override that veto. It just seems to me that any way you look, if you have a conservative to moderate philosophy, we come off better. We're not perfect, don't misunderstand me. I assume we probably made our share of mistakes, but only two in the Senate that made any mistakes, and I know of, Bellman and Bartlett. The rest of us have made a few. It's also on their platform, the registration of handguns and licensing of handguns. Senator Mondale is one of 17 senators who voted for registration and licensing handguns. Now maybe you want that. Maybe you want to get that thing rolling. I don't know. I don't think so. They don't in my state. That's not in our platform. That's in their platform. They have 65 new or increased spending programs in their platform, 22 new or expanded agencies in their platform. And then they talk about streamlining government and reorganization and cutting spending and reducing unemployment and balancing the budget without any cost to the taxpayer. Now, we can't make that promise. You never out-promise some in politics. The only trouble is some get elected and try to carry out their promises. And I don't think we could afford it. It would be more help to me if somebody had some comments on where our mistakes have been. I know where one has been. Spelled with E-M-B-A-R-G-O, but I didn't subscribe to that. I protested, but we listened to George Meany once. They're going to listen to him every day. And that's another difference. I think President Ford touched on that, his embargoes, and probably some other things. But I just like to maybe somebody...
Senator, if George Meany so desired, though, couldn't he impose another embargo? Would there be anything that the president could do about
You mean just by refusing to load the ships? Wow, I assume he could have a great influence there, but I don't... He wouldn't get the acquiescence he had before. I don't really believe the president had all the options that some assume he had at that time, because that was one of the problems. They wouldn't load the ships, and things were backing up. We could always send somebody out to load those ships. There is a final way we can break through the power of labor in this area, and that was suggested the last time. Maybe the National Guard or the Reserves or somebody ought to load the ships. That's one way. And I might add that Governor Carter, I was in Des Moines, Iowa at the state fair the day after. He said, if you vote for me, there won't be any more embargoes. That's what he told the farmers. Then as he headed for the airport, some reporter caught him and he changed his mind. I mean, I don't say he did it just because of that, but they asked him if there was some national emergency. He said, well, maybe in those cases. But I'm about to be with Henry. You don't think there'd ever be any need for it. You see any emergency that... Got plenty of wheat piled up again. That's why the prices aren't too good. What did the cattle market do today?
$0.5.
Oh. Yeah. I went into Iowa, it rained, and the market went up. So there for me there. I didn't know.
We had a dry front go through.
Oh, well, they had a wet front here in the snow in Sioux City yesterday, but the market did a little better.
Senator, how low do you think wheat prices?
I think they're about as high as they're going to raise them. My theory is that he probably shouldn't go any higher unless you want to get back in the grain business and pay $1 million a day in storage costs. It's still 4 cents below the target price, the loan rate. If you get up much higher than that, you're going to own a lot of wheat unless the price goes up, and we're trying to push some of it now, EL480 sales. But our projected carryover is getting up pretty high, about 850 million, something like that. A lot of bushels. Higher than it's been. Do you think they should be raised, or?
Well, they don't have to be raised. We're going to have to do something with farms. Our place would be just like as everybody else. Our cost of production is going to be as far as price is going to install.
I don't know. It just seems to me that he's about to reach the limit unless we want to get into the, unless we make a policy decision that we're going to start taking over grain. And hopefully that won't be necessary, that the price will turn around if some of the stuff shipped out somewhere.
Senator, is there any resistance to foreign buyers on because we are demanding so a certain percentage of the wheat be shipped in American ships at considerably higher cost? Is there any resistance to sales for that reason?
I don't know.
It probably makes us a little less competitive than we might be, but I don't know that all that significant.
Well, at the time when wheat is about half what it was a year or so ago, it looks to me like anything that we could do that would be constructive would be in order.
Yeah, I haven't heard that raised as a impediment to sales, it might be.
They have more of an effect now than it would be a higher price. That's your point.
Yeah. What about the program itself? Is it basically acceptable and available for all of
them?
Yes. I think so. I think it's been a real good program except for the one mistake from the embargo. I think we really like not having this big surplus of grain over our head. Doing away with allotments. We would like to have a better price.
Right. No, I don't know anybody who satisfied with the price particularly. The happiest people right now are dairymen and maybe somebody else. Soybeans aren't too bad. Cotton's good. Peanuts isn't bad. Any peanut producers there?
They're all in Georgia.
They got a different program. body program. I don't think so. I think that program's under review. We had a farmer ask, you know, it had to be 5 minutes, but not more than 5 minutes before anyone knows if that was running or walking. We sent that back into the bureaucracy, and the time they get that answer, I assume there'd be a new program. But, and I think the OSHA pamphlets on safety of beef cattle has been withdrawn too, hasn't it? I know that was a very enlightening manual. Won't it, many of you?
What's the position that y'all take on the federal land use thing? Have you, does that stand opposed to it? Or I understand that Governor Carter has come out pretty strong with this. At least that was the viewpoint from John Long. I've never really heard about what kind of stand. Down here, I came up at the meeting, Bob, and the president came out.
Oh, I know the president, yeah. He came out strongly against it, President Ford has.
Under no conditions, I didn't really get this real clear. I know he came out as opposed to it in a general sense, but I wonder if he's got limitations as to where he would step in or where he feels like maybe there is a place for it or if there's no place for it. And what's your views on it?
Dewey Bartlett's the expert in this group on land use planning because he offered all the amendments to the bill. I think I owe every part of the amendment to the bill. I'm not certain how I voted on the bill, so I don't want to mislead anybody. But I was hoping it'd come up again so we could vote against it. So I felt at the time we had voted for all the weekly amendments, and I think I voted for the bill, but I learned during my 74 campaign that it was probably a bad vote. I had a few farmers remind me of that. But I'm not certain it's the same bill, so I don't want to mislead you, but I...
There was another vote on the bill back in 72, which was a different bill, and that was before I was in the Senate. But the one in 74 was, in my opinion, a bad bill, and the president made it very clear in Lockheed that he opposed that bill and any bill like it. And I would say that the president's opposition kept a bill from surfacing
this
in the last 2 years. The bill that passed the Senate passed in 74, I believe it was, 74. Got held up in the House in committee. As far as 75 and 6 are concerned, I think the president's opposition probably kept anything from happening. So I think he's very firm in that. And, opposes any bill, anything like the bill that Scoot Jackson introduced. So we're talking about federal land use planning.
Right.
In that particular bill, it pretty made the zoning czar out of the Secretary of the Interior. After, I think it was 7 years, if, say, the state of Oklahoma had not adopted its own plan, then the Secretary of the Interior would be required to come in and create a plan for Oklahoma. So he's dead set against it.
Senator, may I make an opinion on
this?
While we were there, I found that the administration wasn't against land use planning, but they felt it should come from the state itself on a local basis and not be considered as a federal problem. That legislation would be written that would affect all the 50 states, whereby that it wouldn't fit the picture that it was needed to be fitted, but it should come from the local area.
I think the opposition that developed after the bill passed the Senate and really killed it in the House was the federal role in the land use planning. I think that really stopped it dead in its tracks in the House. It passed the Senate with very few votes against it. But once everybody alerted to the danger in the bill, it was the end of it. I don't know that it's coming up again. I don't think so. And we did get some relief in the estate tax bill, but it's, it needs some revision too as far as the capital gains treatment. And if you're also in the business of selling land or buying stocks, or if you have breeding stock that you sell, you want to take a hard look at what Governor Carter told the Associated Press about treating all income alike, which means you had the same tax rate. And just I look at that, and he denies he said it, but it was an Associated Press interview. I assume he denies he said it. He hasn't denied that part of it yet. But he did say it. At the same time, he said it, nobody wanted their taxes lowered. And that has some impact on those of you who are in the business of agriculture, which means farming. It just seems to me that President Ford has a very good voting record in farm areas throughout Congress. And Secretary Butts, I think, spoke out for farmers and the interests of farmers. And he added a few words here a while back. Beyond the call of duties. Right now we have a vacancy. But I hope it's going to be some of an active farming background. That would help. I think that's been Henry's suggestion yesterday to the president. I think.
That's a good one. That's an Oklahoma this morning.
I've recommended an opponent. Let me, Bob, ask how many of these folks you feel like we ought to try to get up as your first secretary.
I think there was, you know, there was some talk initially that maybe somebody ought to be named right away. I don't think it ought to be something done overnight just to say we've done it. Got to get the best man. He's got the right background and. That's what the president's in the process of trying to do now.
Bob, we're going to have to wind up here. Well, down into the great state of Texas.
Up to Texas, yeah. I don't want to shut anybody. Anybody else have any? Do you think generally that the President Ford's on the right track? I don't want to get. Some may or some may not, but I think we've got a choice here now. And, all I can say, honestly, is the president's talked to me about having some role in exports. And I think that in itself is. Have any progress, make any profit. We've got to have a strong export market. We have a strong market. That's the role I hope to play.
Thank you all very much.